want to share this morning something which the Lord laid on my heart yesterday. I was sort of conscious yesterday that for being out all day, I was I generally spend time on Saturdays preparing messages for Sunday. And I hadn't heard from the Lord as to what to bring, and you know, just as I was sitting in one of the services, I'm not exactly sure which one it was, but the Lord dropped a thought into my spirit. I got home at whatever time it was last night, and this morning, and just in the early hours, just turned up the scripture and looked at it before going to bed. And part of what I want to share this morning has already been touched on in the past. But I'll talk about a life turned around. And I want to take a scripture from one of the smallest books of the New Testament. It's just I don't think it's quite the smallest, but it's the book of Philemon. And there's only one chapter in Philemon, and we're going to look at the scripture I want to look at is verse 11. And it says here in Philemon 11, who once was profitable to you, but now, so who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. Paul was writing about a young man whose name, however you want to pronounce it, Onesimus or Onesimus. And he says in this letter, which is quite a unique letter, in that it's probably the only piece of scripture which is direct, it's a personal letter to a close friend of Paul's, whose name was Philemon. The other letters are addressed to churches, and Paul wrote to the church in general, the church that met in Galatia and the church in Philippi. And he wrote a letter to the church in Colossae, which is where Philemon lived. But this letter is a direct personal letter to a friend from the apostle. And in case you're not aware of the background to the letter, what's being said in this letter, I'll just fill you in. This young man, Onesimus, was a slave. He was in Philemon's household in Colossae. And at some stage in Onesimus's service to Philemon, something went wrong. Not quite sure, well, not that clear, but the implication is from reading later on in the letter that it may have been perhaps Onesimus stole some money, or he did something which caused him to flee Philemon's house, to run away. Whether he actually took something from the household, or whether it was just like he was on an errand for Philemon and absconded while he was away. Again, we're not too clear, but however, whatever happened, Onesimus and Paul's paths crossed. Now, I'll get onto this in thoughts in a minute. And while he's with Paul, he gets saved. Becomes a Christian. And the purpose of this letter is because Paul wants, or he feels he's obliged, out of Christian duty and out of his love for Philemon, to send Onesimus back to Philemon. And this letter is a letter of commendation to Philemon about this man who had wronged him, had left him, but now had proved his profitability. So he says here in verse 7, he says, he was once unprofitable to you, but now it's profitable to you and to me. Now I said, Onesimus was a slave in Philemon's house, a runaway. He left the house, probably taking money or goods or doing something else in the household there which caused him to flee. And then I sat down this morning and I think, well, what would cause a man like Onesimus to run away? What would cause him to desert his master? Now, what would be going through his mind? How would he feel? You know, we always, there's often preached that, yeah, Onesimus, he did wrong, there was something going on in his life which caused him to run. But what? Wonder what it was. I thought perhaps we could let our imaginations get our fingers going this morning and just think, well, I wonder what was going on in Onesimus' life. Because I would suggest that there's probably a little bit of Onesimus in every one of us. Maybe we're not thieves or do anything quite like that, but surely if he'd just taken something, would that mean he had to run away and flee from the household? But maybe he was just fed up with his life as it was. I mean, here he was, a man serving somebody else, a slave. Wasn't the best life to have. Very often the slave got a raw deal, and life perhaps wasn't quite what he'd imagined growing up. Maybe there'd been some issues in his family life which had caused him perhaps to be sold into slavery in the first place. It could be, and it's a possibility that, I mean, although Philemon was a godly man and there was a church that met in his house, because we read that in verse 2, but maybe there was some sort of resentment there to the way perhaps he'd been treated. Maybe he felt that he was not treated fairly in some situations, and it could be that he was anti what they called the way. Maybe he didn't like the church at Metinaz. Maybe it rubbed off against his beliefs. Maybe he didn't like the fact that this house was full of Christians. Maybe he wasn't in that sort of relationship with God himself. We know that Paul, certainly he was one that was anti the way. And his hatred for Christians went to the point where he'd take them and throw them into prison, even have them executed and put to death. So maybe there was some sort of something that nature going on in Onesimus' life. Maybe it was purely that he'd taken something. He was a thief and he was fearful of being caught or found out. Just off the left. Maybe guilty for something else that had gone on or he'd done. There's a variety of different things that, you know, Philip and Onesimus could have been experiencing or going through. You know, maybe just he felt he wasn't really fulfilling his life. Sure, there's been times, and as it's been mentioned this morning, you know, perhaps we feel a little bit lame in our Christian experience. Maybe we feel like a little bit unprofitable where the things of God are concerned. Maybe we feel we're just going through the motions and doing whatever needs to be done. And given half a chance today, maybe we would just up and leave and quit everything and run off somewhere where the grass seems to be a bit greener. Well, whatever the reason for Onesimus to run away. He left the household. He ran off. Deserted his duties. Deserted his master. And circumstances, one of the commentators said that Rome was a city where a lot of runaways went to. A lot of people headed, it's a little bit like, you know, you hear about runaways in this country, you know, they seem to head for London, they think that's where it's happening. You know, that's where they're going to get away from it all. And well, Rome was a little bit like that. A little place where it seemed to be happening and everybody seemed to head to Rome. It was the capital of the Roman Empire. Maybe there was some feeling in Onesimus' life that perhaps if he could get to Rome, he'd be hidden and he'd be out of the way and no one would know who he was or where he had come from. It's likely that while he was there, he fell perhaps into a bit of trouble because Paul was in prison in Rome. That's where he wrote his letter from. He'd been imprisoned and somehow their paths crossed. And it may be that Onesimus was imprisoned as well. Maybe he'd done something and caught up with him. The authorities had caught up with him and they had thrown him into prison. But by some divine intervention, because that's what it was, this was a divine intervention, the paths of Onesimus and Paul crossed. I can tell you something, Onesimus would have known Paul, because the church met in Philemon's house. And Paul was instrumental in the establishing of that fellowship and that church. And I'm sure when the apostle had come through Colossae, gathered at Philemon's house, somewhere in the household, Onesimus would have been there serving. So he would have known the apostle Paul. And here in Rome, their paths cross. I don't know what the conversation was like between Paul and Onesimus, but perhaps it went something like this. Onesimus, what are you doing here? But then Onesimus was obliged to unburden his story and tell him. But whatever happened, Paul was instrumental in winning this young man to the Lord. And over perhaps a period of a few months, maybe while Onesimus was serving a sentence, Onesimus proved to be profitable to Paul. Christ turned his life around. And now Paul could write to him, write to Philemon and say, look, he was once unprofitable. He was once considered perhaps a useless slave. A no good for nothing person. Maybe, yes, he might have wronged you in the past, but now this man, his life has been turned around, his life has been changed. He's no longer a slave. I want you to listen to the words of the apostle here, to Philemon. He says, I'm sending him back. Verse 12, it says. Well, verse 10 says, look, I've forgotten him while in my chains. In other words, he's become one of my sons, you know, in the faith. I've led him to the Lord. You know, I've been an encouragement. I've imparted the word of God into his life. He might have hurt you. He might have deserted you. He says, but now he's proved to be a profitable person to me. And he'll be a profitable person to you. He says, no, I'm sending him back. He says, I want you to receive him. He says, that's my heart. I want you to receive this young man. I wish to keep him with me, that he might minister to me in my chains in the gospel. I wanted to keep him. He says, but it's right and it's proper and just that I send him back to you. And he says, in verse 15 he says, you know, yes, perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. Now listen to these words. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother. You know, Jesus turned his life around. He was no longer a slave, but now he was a dear brother. Or, as Paul wrote to another church, he talks about being the Lord's freedman. He's no longer a slave. He's no longer bound up in that slave. You know, Jesus has set him free. And I want you to receive him as a brother. He's no longer a runaway. But he's returning to you. The prodigal is coming home. The one who ran off, deserted you, left you with a gap in your household, took your goods, and sending him home. He's no longer a thief or self-centered, but rather he's a minister of the gospel. A minister, someone that gives, someone that serves, someone that is able to do the opposite to what he was perhaps doing back in Colossae. You know, Jesus turned his life around, and this verse has already been quoted this morning. 1 Corinthians 5:17 says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, the scripture says. And just think on those words, a new creation. This isn't the old patched up or made good. This isn't something that's been repaired or reconditioned. This is something that's brand new. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And Paul writes to Philemon saying, this man is a new creation. Onesimus. Yes, he was unprofitable. But now Jesus has met him. Jesus has turned his life around, and now he is a profitable minister. In fact, Paul rated him so highly that he wanted to keep him. Actually, if you read in the scriptures here in verse 15 and 16, it seems to imply that Paul's writing there that he gives him his freedom. You know, you receive him forever, not as a slave, but as a freedman. You know, let him go free. That was the right of the master. You know, it was right there that he could allow him to set him free. Now, there was under Jewish law, there was the year of release, where all debts were cancelled and all slaves were set free. And Paul writes now, maybe it would be right and proper that you release him. You know, don't receive him as a slave, but as a brother in the Lord. What does the scripture say? Jesus said in John 8, he says, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And if the Son sets you free, and if Jesus set this man free, you know, verse 18, this is a tremendous statement here in verse 18. It says, if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put it on my account. If this man has wronged you, if this man has stolen from you, if this man has taken anything from you, he says, charge that to me. Put that on my account. You know, if we did have a debt, Onesimus had a debt, he owed Philemon, but Paul settled the debt. You know, we had a debt, but Jesus settled the debt. You know, maybe we owed God so much that Jesus settled the debt. You know, one of bring these few thoughts this morning to a close. And you know, life turned around. You know, when Jesus does something, he turns our life around completely. It makes us a new creation. You know, quite often we lose sight of the revelation of that verse. You know, because we look at ourselves and we don't see ourselves new creations. We see ourselves old people patched up. You know, we still got our faults, we still got our failings, we still got this. You know, we're still in the same body. We might be in the same body, but we are a new creation. You know, Jesus does something brand new in our life and with our life. He turns our life, just like Onesimus. Yeah, we might have been unprofitable. We might feel that we're unprofitable even now, before God. But Jesus makes a difference. Jesus can turn that around so we become useful. You know, that's what the name Onesimus means. It means useful. It means profitable. You know, maybe he didn't live up to his name in the past, but certainly he was a new man in Christ Jesus. I don't know whether this happened at the same time, but if we turn to Colossians chapter 4, I don't know whether it's the same occasion here, but in Colossians 4, Paul was writing a letter to the church in Colossae, which, you know, met, certainly a church met in Philemon's house. And in Colossians 4 verses 7 onwards, Paul begins to list a number of people. He says, Tychicus, a beloved brother, a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. He says, and Onesimus, a faithful, oh listen to these lovely words, a faithful and beloved brother. A faithful and beloved brother. Who is one of you? They will make known to you all things which are happening here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instruction. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God. Then it goes on in verse 5, talk about Epaphras. Again, who is one of you, greets you. Luke and Demas greet you, verse 14. You know, there a list of men that Paul counted worthy, faithful ministers. Those who prove their faithfulness in serving him and serving the Lord in the work of the gospel. You know, a list of people noted for their excellence of character. You know, Paul writes this letter to the church in Colossians and in Colossae, and he says, look, he says, I'm sending Tychicus and Onesimus, and they're going to share all the news with you about me. They'll tell you what's been going on. And these men, Paul rated these men. You know, as faithful. You know, that's what Jesus can do. You know, where we were perhaps unprofitable. You know, where we, our lives didn't really amount to anything. Perhaps we didn't think they amounted to anything. Maybe we're feeling perhaps a little bit like some of the things I suggested the Onesimus could have been going through. Perhaps fed up with life as it is. Fed up with the way we seem to be just going through the motions. Maybe a little bit resentful about the way we get treated from time to time. Maybe the people in the church don't seem to see it the way we see it. Maybe we're carrying around a lot of baggage, guilt and shame or something for that we've done. Well, Jesus makes the difference. He can turn our life around. you can make us faithful and beloved. Men and women of excellence. Now, it could be that this letter was written later on to the Colossians, and maybe Philemon did receive Onesimus back and send it straight back to Paul, because that's what Paul wanted. You know, he expressed that desire for, oh, I wanted to keep him for myself, so he might minister. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe he went back to Philemon, and Philemon says, okay, he says, I'm releasing you from your slavery. Go back and serve Paul. Go back and serve the apostle. You know, go back and be a faithful minister. And now maybe he's returning after some time, I don't know, with Tychicus, who's giving them the news of what's been going on in the life of this man of God, the life of this apostle. But whatever happens, this man's life was turned around. Yes, he was unprofitable, but now he was profitable. Now he was faithful. Now he was considered a man of excellent character. And he proved that Jesus can turn our life around. You know, if we are going through anything like that, let's come to the Lord this morning. Yeah, we don't mean to give our hearts to him in that sense, but we come to him, Jesus will turn our life around, change us, and get us back where we need to be. Maybe we thought we're a little useless, a little lame, a little weak, a little unprofitable. Well, I think it was last Sunday, wasn't it? We heard that, you know, just one touch. No, was it a few weeks ago? Just one touch from the Master. Just one touch. All it takes is one touch from the King. We sang a song yesterday, a beautiful song, a song I've known for a few months and probably new to a lot of people in the service there. Now, just one touch from the King changes everything. Just one touch from Jesus makes the difference. Let's give him that opportunity this morning. That opportunity this week to turn our life around. Where we feel it's not going right, or it's going wrong, or we've messed up and we've failed him and let him down. Jesus can make us profitable. He can make us faithful. People of excellence, where his kingdom's concerned. I think one lesson we can learn from Onesimus is that God's got a way to meet us. You know what? If you look at it from the world's point of view, what are the chances of a man who left his home, or where he was serving, perhaps in not so good condition circumstances there, to bump into Paul in the city of Rome, and there meet Jesus? You know, God's got his hand on our life, and he will bring us to the place where he can turn it around, if we just let him. We've got to be willing to let him do that. Make us profitable, faithful, people of excellence, that prove to the world that God is with us. Now, when men look at us, you know, we sang that song, we made that declaration, I am a new creation, no more in condemnation, here in the grace. That's what the grace of God does for us. And that's how Paul ended that letter to Philemon. He says, look, he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Yeah, the grace was upon them, and he's imparting that grace to others. You know, may God's grace this morning be upon each and every one of us. Fill us, change us, fit us for his service. In Jesus' name, amen.